ever do it in Jesus' name. He will be your companion. He will be your help in Jesus' name. What a wonderful rendition. Can we just rise on our feet while we quickly take this song? Because this is, I believe this is what God has laid in my heart that we share along with this message. Because Jesus will be there for you, this song will be true in your life. I am what God says I am. I am what God says I am. I'm a winner, I'm not a failure. I am what God says I am. I am. I am what God says I am. I'm a success. I am what God says I am. I am a success, I'm not a failure. I am what God says I am. I am. I am what God says I am. A victor. I am what God says I am. I am a victor, I'm not a vanquished. I am what God says I am. I am. I am what God says I am. Victor. I am what God says I am. I am a victor, I'm not a victim. I am what God says I am. I am. I am what God says I am. Success. I am what God says I am. I am a success, I'm not a failure. I am what God says I am. Father, we thank you because we depend upon your word. And whatever your word says about us is true. Only your word will stand in our lives and in our endeavors. For your words, they are yea, they are amen. Your word has the ability to create those things that are not there. The Bible says you call those things that be not as though they were. There is the ability for renewal with your word. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And all things have become new for that. Because all things have passed away. Thank you, Jesus. Because your word has the power to heal and to deliver. Because your word is a strength to our bodies and health to our flesh. We are what you say we are. Father, we bless you. We give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Thank you because your word will go out today and the word will accomplish much in every life here this afternoon in Jesus' name. Thank you because your people will begin to walk in victory. Thank you because your people will begin to experience success. Thank you because your people will begin to experience joy unspeakable. Thank you because they will count on your presence. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. God bless you. This morning, I want to quickly talk to us about the word that counts. The word that counts. If I'm talking to us about the word that counts, it simply means that there are words that do not count. Am I right? It also means that not all words count. I mean, you know the other word for count here is important. The words that are important. The word that is to be taken seriously. The word that is to be held on to. The word that counts. That is what we are going to talk about today. It's not likely that I'm going to be able to finish it. But wherever we stop, we will continue. Next Sunday, We'll continue next Sunday. Saturday will be Christmas Day, so it will be a different message. Praise God. Can you please open with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. The word of God is very rich. I'm telling you, the word of God is just too rich. If you dig into it, there is gold there. Gold, plenty of gold. And God will bless you this morning in Jesus' name. Proverbs 30, we're going to read from verse 24 to 28. It says, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. How many things are little? Four things, but they are what? Exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong. Which people are we talking about? The ants. They are a people not strong. Yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The ants are a people not strong. Yet they prepare their meat in summer. The conies are but a feeble folk. Yet make they their houses in the rocks. Many of us will be wondering what a cone is. They are like rabbits. They are like rabbits. Not about that size. The locusts have no king. The locusts have no king. Yet go they forth, all of them by bands. In other words, they go in groups. The spider take a hold with their hands and is in where? King's palaces. Praise the Lord. The spider take a hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Praise the Lord. Those are the verses we are going to look at this morning. We start with them. We are told, and we know, because the word of God says it, that we are the crown of God's creation. When God decided to create God, as powerful as he is, as wise as he is, as glorious as he is, when he chose and decided that he was going to create everything, he made them, and he decided that he was going to make a showpiece. Many of us understand what a showpiece is. The one that you will put in your shop that will make people want to come and buy. That is, which one will you use as your showpiece? The best. The best of everything that God created. He thought of a showpiece. And he thought of man. He thought of you and I. We are the crown of his creation. The best in God's idea. Thank God for your life. Thank God for my life. Isn't it wonderful? When you start to look at yourself, look down upon yourself, or feeling terrible about yourself, remember the song we just heard. And remember that you are God's best idea. Except if you choose not to live according to what God says, you are. Yet, despite the intelligence of man, the abilities of man, all the things that man can do, God wants us to learn some lessons from the little things around us. That is why we are going through the Word of God today and looking at what are we looking at? Ants, conies, locusts, spiders. Praise the Lord. Lizard is too big. We are looking at spider here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, you mean the conies. Okay. So we are looking at all these little animals to learn a few things from them. Praise God. And the title of the message again is The Word That Counts, The Word That Matters, The Word That Is Important. And I started by telling us that it means, once you have a title like that, it means not all words are important. It means some are more important than the others. Just like not all actions are important. In fact, not all things are important. And the Bible makes us to understand, it says all things are lawful, but not all things are what? Are expedient. In other words, I have liberty to do all things, but not all things are important. Not all things add value to who I am. The same thing is words. There are words that are more important than other words. One day we were in my lounge. We were watching a documentary on Michael Jackson. And some people in the crowd, that was some years back when he went to play, some of the people in the crowd, some of the ladies in the crowd, you know, when the guy was singing and he was going around and he smiled to some of them, some people fainted. Why? They said, oh, he smiled to me, he touched me, and people were fainting and they had to be carried. Why? Because Michael Jackson smiled at them. Some people smile and their smiling means nothing to somebody. But some people smile and some people are fainting. So it means smile are not all equal. God will smile at you today in Jesus' name. One day we went out, and I've shared this many, many times. Where we went to, the person we went to see happened to be the classmate of an ex-president. So the ex-president came at that time to visit this person. I mean, so the son of the man we went to visit was like in my group. And so the ex-president decided to, you know, to play with us. And I saw a professor, well-known professor, went to the ex-president. You know, I say, Mr. Ex-President, it's so wonderful to meet you. And he shook hands with him. He's a professor. He's at the zenith, the highest point of his career. But when he met an ex-president, he was shaking like a leaf, happy to hold his hand. And that morning when the man saw me, he just greeted me. He didn't even bother to shake my hands. I mean the man who was shaking the ex-president and shaking like a leaf. It means some handshakes are more important than others. God will hold your hand in Jesus' name. Not long ago, my daughter went somewhere for a book launch. So we went to pick her back from the book launch. And on our way back home, as old as she was, I had to say, please, just shut up. Why? Because she kept telling us, you know what? John Howard, he came. He took photo with us. I'm going to show you the photo. One of my friends went and tapped him on the back when the man was not looking. He stood with us. Oh, John Howard, we had a great time with him. He was this, he was that. from where we went to take her till we got home, it was John Howard, how he held their hands and was taking this thing with them and so on. I had to say, please, you know, just enough. You see, the presence of people, of some people, are more important than the presence of some others. And you know what? When two people go to court to testify, somebody will give a testimony and the judge will nod and take in the testimony. Some other people will give testimony. And do you know what the lawyers will do? All they will be trying to prove is that he's an ex-convict. And you know that even when you are telling the truth in that situation, because of your past, it will cast doubt on what you are saying. And the court may not believe you. It means the words of some people are more important than the words of others. Your word will matter wherever you go in Jesus' name. When some people make promise to you, you can afford to discountenance those promises because you know them, that in the heat of the moment they say anything. But when some people make promises to you, you know that irrespective of what may be happening, they will try to keep that promise. Especially if they're in a position of authority. Because you assume that they are seasoned enough, they have the authority to back it up, they have the intent and the decency to follow through with what they have said. And of course, when it comes to people giving information, if a laborer is giving information on a subject and the professor in that field speaks, you are likely to hold on to one rather than the other because the words of the professor carries weight. Above all positions and above all words, the word of God counts above what anyone can say. And what God says about you matters more than what anybody can say about you. Our sister came out and said this morning, he said, when the word of God comes forth, just take hold of it. I didn't know that testimony was coming. Let me digress a bit. When we come to church, we need to come with expectation, so that when the word of God comes, you are taking hold of it and holding on to it as if your life depends upon it, because your life depends upon it, and take it home with you and begin to live that word and to walk in the reality of what has been said to you. Because the word of God matters more than any other word that you may ever hear in your life. If you put your confidence in anything else, you are wasting time. For example, if your self-esteem depends on your profession, for example, say you are a professor, you are an artist, you are accomplished in your profession, and your confidence is in that, what will happen when you are no longer able to do that work? Have you ever imagined what will happen to you if anything happens and you are no longer, let's even say before you are able to retire, something happens and you are no longer able to practice that work, that profession? Have you seen or heard of people who have killed themselves because they've lost their profession? They are ascending. The world is their oyster. Everyone is worshiping them. They are doing well, and suddenly something happens, and they are no longer on upward trend anymore. Things just collapse around them, and they end up killing themselves. Why? Because they have put their trust in what they are doing. As children of God, we cannot afford to do that. What if your self-esteem is based on what you own? Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he said, "A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." How wonderful, how great some people must have felt in America. A lot of people bought cars, bought boats, bought a lot of things based on the equity on their house, because their house were worth hundreds of thousands. And in one single year, in some places, houses lost their value by up to 40% in 1 year. Such that the value of the house was not worth what they actually bought it. So you can imagine, if you took a car based on your equity on your house, if you bought a boat based on the equity on your house, if you bought all these other things based on the equity on your house, and your house is no longer worth the original price, where do you go? So we cannot afford to depend on that. In fact, your confidence cannot be in what you know. Why? Because knowledge is very transitory. Knowledge is always changing. But the Bible says the word of God is endured forever. Think of knowledge in this way. How many of us have heard of asbestos? Asbestos. We've heard of asbestos. Praise God. We've seen its use. And I want to believe that when somebody discovered asbestos, it was a big and a great discovery. Right? In fact, it made a lot of money for some companies. I'm not going to mention the name of the company. We all know the company. It has been in the news for years. But do you know the knowledge of asbestos that was celebrated so well is the same knowledge that has come back to become a curse to that company, that they are paying millions, if not billions of dollars to people. And in fact, the government of Australia has had to put aside 150 million in Queensland to help meet the obligation that they could not make, that the company is not able to meet. So even if you depend on your knowledge, look, knowledge that is important today, that everyone value today, tomorrow it will be something else. Plus, the Bible says there is no end to knowledge. And it says too much learning is what? It's a vexation of the spirit. It's good to learn. Another thing you cannot put your trust in or depend on is people's opinion. You know what? If you depend on people's opinion, you'll be prone to rejection. You will never find happiness in your life. Even if you are trying your best, if you value yourself based on what people say about you, let me tell you, you can never be an accomplished person in your life. You need to base your opinion of yourself on what God says about you. In other words, let the word of God be the final authority over where your life is going, how your life is right now, and how your life is going to be. Even when it looks like you cannot see those things come through yet, let the word of God be the final authority. Is it one part of the word of God? No. Everything that is contained in the word of God is worth appropriating to yourself. I've seen some Christians becoming specialists. They are specialists in giving. And they emphasize giving so much so. And every other area of your life is immaterial. Whether you are living godly or not godly, it doesn't matter if you are a giver. That's all. Some people specialize in divorce, remarriage. That is their passion. Ask about other areas. They don't pay attention. God is looking for all-round Christians. That every word, the Bible says we should depend upon how many words? He said every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Some husbands, when they come to church, and the pastor preaches on marriage and say, you see, the Bible says your body is not your own. You are not this. The husband will get excited and say, yes. When they get home, they fight with the wife and say, the Bible says your body is not your own. And some wives, when you say, love is about giving. Love is about giving. You must open your wallet to your wife. And when they get home, they say, did you hear what the pastor said today? He said, you must open your wallet to your wife. Praise the Lord. We select those areas we want to lay emphasis on. But when the Bible says we should live uprightly, how many of us go back and say, darling, you are coloring that matter. The Bible says we should live uprightly. Darling, you are dressing up this issue. The Bible says we must all live godly. How many of us do that? But if he says, open your wallet, you say, yes, you heard the pastor say that. Oh, yes. God will help us in Jesus' name. Every word. We should allow every word of God to excite us. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God must do what? Must excite us. We must find excitement in that word, because these are words that can't. In Proverbs chapter 30, you think I've forgotten about Proverbs? Praise the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 25 of where we read, he said, the ants are a people not strong, yet make they their houses in the rocks. In other words, the Bible is saying the ants are master. No, sorry, let's go again. The ants are people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in summer. In other words, the ants are what? They are master planners. They know that winter will come. And so in summer they do what? They prepare their food. They store it. They keep it ready for winter. When they will not be able to go out freely to do the things they want to do. In other words, God expects us to be planners. Not only planners, but that we are diligent in planning. One of the former presidents of the U.S. said, give me 10 minutes to cut down a tree, and I will spend 9 minutes sharpening the axe. That is planning. God expects us to plan. In particular, God expects us to plan based on His word. Many of us have shown ability to plan in different endeavors of life. That is why we have excelled in our professions. But there are things that God expects us to now start to put plans to. If we have not been doing it before, this is the time to start to begin to plan. The way we know how to plan the things of our lives, the things, the physical things that will go all pass away, God wants us to begin to plan the things of eternity with the same vigor and dedication as we plan the things that we eat and drink. And every plan must be based on the word of God. For example, God does not expect that your doing good will be a happenstance, that you do good by accident. God expects that your doing good is as a result of premeditation. So it becomes your second nature, so that everything you are planning, you've already planned to do good in it. How many of us listen to the radio program on Thursday? None of us did. Okay, praise God. Praise God. I spoke about gifts. In particular, I spoke about who your neighbor is, a good neighbor. And we spoke about gifts. One of the things that God told the children of Israel is this. He said, when it is time to harvest, He said, every corn that fall, as you are harvesting, the corn that fall from your hand, what did He say? You must not pick them. And He said, when you are harvesting, you must not harvest the corner of your farm. So in other words, you go into your farm, you do your harvesting. When things are falling down, you don't pick them. When the corner of your farm, you don't harvest them. He said, what? Do you know the reason He said that? He said that so that the poor can come to you, so that they don't have to come and beg you. So in other words, as you are planting that of the poor. The poor is part of your plan. In other words, doing good is part of your plan. I told people, it took us almost 2 years here for us to open an account. I said, look, as the church is taking offering and tithes and putting it in our bank account, I said, let's open an account for welfare. Because doing good has to be part of your plan. It's not a happenstance. It's not a handout thing. It's a premeditated thing. That's the instruction He gave the children of Israel. Can you remember one person who benefited from that? Ruth benefited from that in the farm of Boaz. Because when Ruth followed Naomi back to Bethlehem, what happened? He was going to glean from the farm of Boaz. And when they told Boaz, they said, there's a young woman who comes here and was gleaning. He said, look, just let her be. Let her keep gleaning. He said, please, deliberately let something fall. You remember? Deliberately let something fall down. If you are being careful to make sure it doesn't fall before, he said, because of him, be careless. Because of her, be careless. Let things fall to the ground so she can pick. And the Bible says what? Well, he said, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Your Christianity is not worth anything except we begin to do good to each other. Thank God for the men of this church. I know they met the other week. And they said the first project is the naming ceremony of the Akinyemis. Praise God. They are going to roll up their shirts, move all the chairs, arrange the tables to do good. It's going to go beyond the shores, even of this church, that will be doing good to people. There are things we need to plan. Just like the ants plan to gather their food in summer. It's not just our degree that we plan to get. Doing good is something we also plan for. Do you know that we also plan not to sin? It's another thing we need to plan for. Otherwise, the enemy will catch you unawares. That's why it says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, is waiting for whom he may devour. You will not be the one he will devour in Jesus' name. Because if he catches you unaware, look, you will have done what you didn't intend to do. You will have said what you did not intend to say. Plan not to sin. Don't leave it to chance. Can somebody open with me to Psalm 17 verse 3? Psalm 17 verse 3. If you get there, you can read. Everything is about planning.
You have tested my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You have visited me in the night.
Mm-hmm.
You have tried me and found nothing.
Mm-hmm. I have
proposed that my mouth will not transgress.
I have done what? I proposed that my mouth will not what? Will not transgress. Not long ago, I learned some things. I learned mathematics in the gospel. Did you hear me? Mathematics in the gospel. And they said, just like mathematics, things come in sets. You know? They come in sets. Sin come in sets. You notice that the Bible often groups some people together. You know? And I think, honestly, I've never looked at it that way until that person said it. Look at it this way. He said, for example, he said the Bible says a fool says in his heart that there is no God. Listen to this. The same Bible says anger rests in the bosom of a fool, which means the one who says there is no God and the one who is angry, they are. I never thought that way before until somebody did the mathematics. Does it make sense? Anger rests in the bosom of a fool. A fool says in his heart, there is no God. So they are the same thing. Lump them together. You will not be lumped in that group in Jesus' name. It does not matter what that thing may be. There are words that count. The word of God counts more than anything. And should mean more than anything else to you. I'll leave it there. Plan to praise God. What did I say? Plan to praise God. Make deliberate effort to praise God. We've said this over and over. Not because you are feeling good. Not because you feel like it. Not because the occasion calls for praising God. Not because people have been good to you. Not because you are not under threat. Not because your job is not threatened. Not because you are making progress. Not because, you know, all doors are open to you. Just sing and praise God for who he is, irrespective of your circumstance. Plan to do it. Plan to do it. What did Job said? He said, even though he slays me, yet I will praise him. Irrespective of my circumstance, it is part of my plan to praise God. And you know something else about praising him? Open with me to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. I will quickly read verse 5 to 7. He said, let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall do what? Bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Praise God. Just praise him. Irrespective of what you are going through, just praise him. Because when you praise him, the Bible said the earth will begin to bear it, bring its increase. He said, then shall the earth yield our increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. Your blessings is in praising God. Your blessing is not in what you can see now. Your blessing is not what the circumstance is saying. Your blessing is not in what people say about you. You don't need anyone's approval, but you must live a life of righteousness and just praise the Lord. So that the God you serve can bless you. Plan to praise him. There is victory in praising God. And of course, plan to live in obedience to the word of God. Again, it should not be a happenstance. What did Joshua say? As for me and my house, we are going to what? We are going to serve the Lord. They propose in their heart that they are going to do what? They are going to serve the Lord. Let's look at Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel 1, 8. Daniel proposed in his heart. Daniel proposed in his heart that he was going to live a life that would not be defiling. He said, but Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel did what? He made it part of his plan that he was going to be what? Going to be obedient to God. Obedience to God does not happen by chance. Doing the word of God does not happen by what? By chance. It comes as a result of you purposing in your heart that you are going to live godly, and God, the grace of God is sufficient for you. We may not be able to go beyond this planning. There are things we need to plan to do. We'll not go beyond that today. Let me tell you what else you need to plan to do. Plan to build your character. Did someone hear that? Plan to do what? To build your character. Good character does not come by chance. How do I know that? How many of us are parents here? How many of us are parents here? I'm one. Okay, praise God. Have you ever caught your children lying in any way? Well, I've caught mine. Praise God. Did you teach them to lie? Eh? You didn't teach them. Yeah, they knew how to. What about the good things they do? Greet uncle this. Help mommy to bring plate. Did you have to teach them? Eh? I had to teach my own. Oh. Eh? I didn't teach them to lie. Somehow they knew. But when it's pick plate, help mommy, do this. I had to tell them that do this. And I had to say it several times. In other words, good character requires what? Planning. Plan to build your character. plan to build the character of your family. It does not happen by chance. How do I know? Because God Himself does not leave your character to chance. God does not leave your character to chance. He does not leave you to chance to see how you are going to turn out to be. Somebody will be saying, maybe I'm speaking fallacy. Let's open to Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. Exodus 20:20. And someone to open to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Exodus 20:20. It says, let me read from another here. It says, okay. It says, and Moses said to the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, so that the reverential fear of Him may be before you, that you may not sin. What has God come to do? To prove you. In other words, before God takes you out to the promised land, He wants to make sure that you are going to stay faithful. He's not leaving your character to chance. He is building you up. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. What does that say? To humble you, to test you, to know what is in your heart. Whether you will keep His commandment or not, God does not leave your character to chance. He has not left my own character to chance, and I know that. I know those areas where He has been challenged to want to give up. I know those areas where I have been challenged. And I know how far God has taken me in those areas, because God will never leave. Look, God will never commit something substantial into your hand and leave you to chance. It's not possible, because He has to prove you first before He will take you to your promised land. People wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and they didn't get there because the Lord had to test them to make sure they are going to be worthy of Him and His calling. Plan to build character. Not the character the people talk about as character, you know, that people come to you, they can never find out the truth from you. You know, some people, if you ask them, what did you eat last night? Do you know you can never get a straight answer from them? Those are not Christians. So what did you eat last night? You see, actually my wife, she makes a lot of effort. So, you know, when she went out there, and she drove that car, and she came back home, and you know what? She just put food. Please, what did you eat last night? You will never get the truth from them. That is no character. Because they say, I don't want to offend anybody. They think that's good character. That's not good character. If your life is not based on honesty and truth, and I will tell you very soon, I will show it to you, that's not good character. Good character is living in righteousness. If something is going wrong, they know if they come to you, they will know the truth. But if you are telling the story of Tortoise and his wife, when you are supposed to be, honestly, when you are supposed to be shedding light on the case, you are in trouble. God will help us in Jesus' name. Don't you know life is full of tests? It's full of tests for Christians. And those little things, God will use it to test us. David said something. He said, integrity is my defense. Not to prove himself to man, but to prove himself to God. Integrity will be your defense in Jesus' name. Let me tell you one or two stories, and we just end. The first one is this story. The Great Wall of China, you've heard of it before. How great is the wall? Very, very great. I can't remember the size, but it's so great that no enemy could penetrate. So, when the people built the Great Wall of China, they just thought they should go home and rest, that everything was okay. And yet, I can't remember, within a number of years, they were invaded 3 times. Despite that big wall, why do you think they were invaded? Because the people they put to man the gate were not people of integrity. They opened the door to the enemy. Where there is no integrity, the devil will come in and will strike. Even in the family, you don't have integrity, you think your home is secure, it will never be secure. The Great Wall of China could not prevent the people from being invaded because the people they were asked to man the gate were not people of integrity. I will also tell you one story and we'll end. Somebody told the story of a chippy bird. That's a chippy bird. This person had this bird in a cage. Very nice bird. The owner loved this bird. I'm talking about God testing us. So each time he wakes up, the bird is already is there, you know, and singing. And the owner will be so excited, you know, will feed the bird and do everything. So one day, he decided that the cage was too dirty. And so was going to look after the bird. So he came, opened the cage, and took a vacuum cleaner, removed all the debris, and with the vacuum cleaner, just cleaned the place. And as he was cleaning, the phone rang. And the person ran inside to pick up the phone. And on the way to picking up the phone, he just had Oh, he knew that there was trouble. The vacuum cleaner had sucked in the bird. Took the bird in. He quickly dismantled the vacuum cleaner. Brought out the bird. The bird was still alive, thank God, he said. He was covered with dirt. So he quickly put water, cleaned the bird, and used the air dryer and dried the bird. But he noticed something. That after that, the bird never sang again. The adversarial situation made the bird to keep quiet from that day. Because the bird had been tested with stress. When God tests you, what will he find? The enemy will not be able to keep you quiet in Jesus' name. Lastly, open your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. Still on character building. God does not leave character to chance. It's something we have to plan to build. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 8 and 9 that we all know very well. Just for emphasis, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are honest. Aha. Let's read together. Let's start. 1, 2, 3, go. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and see in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let us rise up. Can we just take that song again? I am what God says I am. I am what God says I am. I'm a victor. I am not a victim. I am what God says I am. You are. I am what God says I am. Success. I am what God says I am. I am a success. I'm not a failure. I am what God says I am. You are. I am what God says I am. I'm a victor. I am what God says I am. I am a victor. I am not a victim. I am what God says I am. You've heard the word of God this morning. Why don't you just speak to the Lord? Because you are going to plan to do good. You are going to plan to live in all that is godly. You are going to plan to do all that is virtuous. You are going to plan to report all that is true. You are going to plan to do all that is true. You are going to plan to do all that is honest. You are going to plan to do all that is godly. You are going to plan to do all that brings good report to the name of the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Because the peace of God is going to rest upon you. Because the peace of God will follow you from today on. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you for being our God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Second prayer point, you are going to say, Father, even as I live in your grace, let my integrity speak for me. My Father, my God, even as I live in your grace, let my integrity speak for me. Let my integrity speak for me before your throne in Jesus' name. I do not rest upon my own abilities, but the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Therefore, let the truth of your word speak for me, O Lord. Let my integrity speak for me, O Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and we give you glory. Thank you for sending your word forth tonight or this afternoon. My Lord and my God, everyone that has heard me today, my Father and my God, you are taking them to another level in the spiritual realm in Jesus' name. To you, there will be no difference between the spiritual world and the physical world, because you now live in the reality of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, every area where we have struggled hitherto, we begin to experience victory in Jesus' name. My Father, my God, I say every area where we have struggled hitherto, it's not what man says. It is not about any man. It's not about title. It's not about position. It's not about whether you are a pastor or whoever you are. If you don't live righteously, you cannot inherit that kingdom. Therefore, this afternoon, I come before you with your people and I say, everything that is not you of you in us, O Lord, they'll die from today in Jesus' name. We are a people who will live godly because our way will please you in the mighty name of Jesus, and your peace will rest upon us all the days of our lives. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.